Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps. I've got an incredible guest, and this person is literally halfway around the world, plus 2 hours. So his name is Arthur Carmazzi, or as a Italian brother from another mother, it's Carmazzi Basilico, right? You know, that's how it goes. So, hey, Arthur, how you doing over there, man? It's morning for you, right?
It is, Brian, and it's actually, you know, early morning, and I am excited to be here with you.
Yeah, it's like 6 o'clock at night here when we're recording this, like 8 o'clock for you in the morning. It's like the next day, and we had a little time zone dyslexia, so you know, we finally got it all together. So I'm so excited to have you on. You've got some incredible stuff to offer, and I'm really excited to talk about something called the colored brain. We'll dig into that a little bit afterwards, but first I want my audience to get to know you a little bit. So let's talk about how you went from living in Nevada and being an inventor and a wannabe stunt double to this guy who's living in Bali, who's a speaker, a coach, and a very critical thinker.
So, well, essentially, I mean, you know, it was one of those things. I mean, I grew up in a small town and I wanted to get out. Literally get out. And growing up in the United States was really fun until one day I was in Puerto Rico and I got stabbed. And that made me rethink my life completely because I almost died. In fact, the knife literally was, according to the doctor, 2 millimeters away from my carotid artery. And so what happened was that I thought, I need to find myself. So I sold everything. I sold my house, sold the cars, and I ended up creating this journey that of self-discovery. And I ended up going to lots of places, but one of those places was Korea. And in that country, in Seoul specifically, I met this Korean girl who eventually, later on, after my money ran out, I ended up following back to Korea.
Wow. So you actually, you didn't go to Ipanema. It wasn't the girl from Ipanema. It was a girl from Korea. So that's how you ended up there. Now, what happened from there? How did you, you know, how did you get into doing what you're doing now?
Well, from there, what happened was I originally had set up this deal with this company to be the managing director of their consulting company. And I was really good with this after a while. In fact, I could do no wrong. I was really great at this job. In fact, I was so good that I thought, darn, why am I doing this for these other guys? I could be doing this for myself and making my own money. So I thought, hey, I'm going to take all my money and I'm going to move over to Singapore and I'm going to start my own company with some of my ideas. And so I did. And I invested all my money. And on top of that, I even borrowed another $500,000 to build this company. A year and a half later, do you know what happened? I not only lost all of my money, but I was $500,000 in debt. Now, I don't know if you've ever been $500,000 in debt, but it's really no fun. Do not try this at home.
No.
Okay. So I had to get a job, and I got this job with this big multinational company as a department head. And so in this company, I was, you know, very excited. I mean, you know how like you get your job and, you know, first job in a particular company and you're thinking, wow, I can do all these great things. And you're looking at the future and it's like, whoa, you know, you can see the greatness happening like 1 year, 2 years down the road and everything else. And that lasted for about 3 weeks. And then I started noticing that everybody else is blaming each other. And, you know, all these other people over here are, you know, not really cooperating very much. And I'm thinking, man, you know, what is wrong with these people? And I would go up to some of these guys and say, hey, look, you know, we got some resources. We could kind of pull them together. And they said, look, you do your thing. I'll do my thing. And it's like, wow. Okay. You know, I knew I could make a difference. And 4.5 months later, I started blaming people without even realizing it. And people would come up to me and they would say, hey, Arthur, can you help me with this? I'd say, look, you do your thing. I do my thing. Mm. I didn't even realize it. I became part of the culture, part of this problem. And it affected me in a really bad way. I mean, you know, I would go home. I didn't like my job. I was, you know, I became an underachiever. Even though I was working and busy, a lot of the work I was doing was busy work. I mean, I was, you know, after a while, I kind of just gave up. And I didn't really feel good about any of it. But I felt stuck because I couldn't quit because I needed the money. And so one day I kind of thought, you know, what is wrong with me? And I went and I started talking to these other people, these other bad people that were making my life difficult. And I found out something totally unexpected. I found out that they were real human beings and they really wanted to have high standards and have great teamwork and cooperate. And they also had these visions of greatness that also they lost when they got sucked into the culture. And I thought, wow. So it's not really the people. There's a lot more to this. There's the environment. And so I started doing all this research, and the research kind of turned into these models. And then from there, I started applying some of these, and we ended up saving the company $17,000 a week in wastage. Then I wrote articles, and then I got on radio, then I got on TV, and I was eventually able to quit my job. And well, here I am 16 years later.
Wow. So that was the beginning of the whole colored brain theory. So explain to me and my audience, what do you mean by colored brain? Do we break out like a picture of a brain in crayons and start, you know, drawing on it or what?
Well, all right. So first of all, this was the foundation of what's the directive communication psychology, okay, which, mm-hmm. Became accredited. Now, colored brain is one of the models in there. But for your audience, see, the thing is, what your audience wants to do is you want to basically influence people. You want to get more conversions with your marketing. You want to get people to basically buy more stuff. Okay? So the colored brain is literally, it's the genetic foundation of how your brain gets clarity. And it's called the brain's ambiguity relief process. Okay, so that's the science behind it, the scientific name. So this ambiguity relief process is the way that you interpret and process information to get clarity. So why is that important in marketing? Well, because if you're going to get clarity, I mean, think about it, okay? When somebody's looking at an ad, when somebody's looking at an image, when somebody's looking at a headline, I mean, what does it mean to them? How do they get clarity about what you are trying to sell, about the emotions that you are trying to elicit? So before anything, before all the emotions, before all of this stuff, your message is filtered through a person's genetic ambiguity relief process. And colored brain is because we've divided it basically into four colors or four different brain processes.
So with these different processes, I mean, how does this translate into, you know, taking messages and working with our audience, our perfect audience? What is kind of the mentality or the thing that we need to think about when we're going down that road?
All right. Well, let's think about trust, first of all. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you are speaking to somebody and let's say from your perspective, you feel that details are very important and that people should pay attention to details and, you know, that things should be, you know, somewhat systematic in the way that they are presented. And somebody comes up and just says, hey, you know, just try it, man, because it's cool. Okay, there's no trust, right? But what if you're the kind of person that literally thinks, hey, you know, let's just try stuff because, you know, it's cool and it's new and it's exciting and, you know, there's this whole kind of other people are doing it too, okay? But somebody gives you all of the little details about it and it's like, oh my gosh, just, you know, just enough with that already. It's too boring. I don't want to deal with this. So you've got two sides of the same thing, right? So you got one person that is, that needs to have just needs to try to take action to try to, you know, figure stuff out. Okay. And they would buy with, hey, let's just do it. And this is, you know, what other people are doing, et cetera. While the other guy needs to have the details and the systematic process to buy and to feel trust. So without that level of communication, that understanding, it's difficult to build trust with the people who are selling you something. So let's just kind of look at the different colored brain processes. Okay, so that way it kind of give you an idea, and then I can kind of go from there, right?
Yep, sounds perfect. So go for it.
Okay, so first of all, there is let's look at the green brain. All right, now the green brain is what we call chaotic processing. All right. Now, chaotic processing literally needs to take action in order to get clarity. That means that in order to get something to be clear, they need to start talking to people, asking questions, need to actually try stuff and look at how things kind of, you know, maybe compare to stuff. Okay. So they're going to be very action oriented. Now, these are going to be oftentimes in a sales perspective, these are going to be your early adopters. All right. So why? Because they need to take action, especially if you've got lower price points where the risk is low. Let's do it. No sweat. Okay. Because they'll try it at least. Now, in order to attract these kinds of people, well, you can't give them too many details, okay? Because that's not what they're looking for. They're looking at, well, hey, you know, these people are doing it and this is how it's being applied. And, you know, if you try this, this is what you're going to get. And so, you know, they're looking for the bullet points. Basically, this is it, okay? You give them too much information, it's like, oh, gosh, let me just skip through it and let's see what the buy button is and see what happens then, all right? So these people are going to be the easiest to sell or to convert with a quick, fast, emotional, connective kind of thing that says, hey, you know, let's try it. Okay, now, then you've got your purple brain, which is called relational processing. Now, relational processing is literally everything is connected and it's related to each other. So every little bit of information you get is connected and related to some other bit of information. So somebody with a relational process or purple brain, what they're going to need is they're going to need lots of information, lots of details. They're going to need to make sure that they have as much details and information as possible about something. Now, when they get all of this, it's not really an analysis thing. They don't analyze it and stuff. What happens is that the more information they get, it creates options. And so then they kind of look at the different options. So if you want to sell to these people, the more options that you give them. So for example, like the, hey, you know, here's the competition and here's how we compare to the competition. And we have this and we have this and they don't have that and they don't have that. Okay. So these are things and you give all of the details and you give all these different things and you can, you know, create this trust simply because you are going into detail and these people like, wow, okay. Yeah. This person really understands what I need in order for me to buy them. Therefore I can trust them, therefore I can buy. Okay. Now, if you do this with the green brains, okay, they're just going to go, oh my gosh, you know, this is way too much, right? So now then there's the red brain, which we call linear processing. Now, linear processing is about structure. Okay. It's about logic. So how do you connect things through structure? What happens first? What happens second? What happens third? How do I get my result? Okay, so I need to have a very structured process, not only of how that's going to help me achieve my objective if I buy this product, okay, but also what I need to do in order to buy that product. Okay, in order to get the results. Okay, so first I've got to, you know, go through this and I've got to buy this. And then is there anything else? Is there any new hidden things in there that are going to come up? Okay, I need to know I need to know what is the downside also, because that's part of the structure. Okay, how is it? It can't all be good. So I need to see, okay, where's the bad parts? Where's the things? Who's it for? Is it for me? Is it for somebody else? Okay, I need to have, you know, the facts. I need to have how how everything basically connects to everything else. So I need to, because with the linear processing, okay, everything is not automatically connected. They actually have to kind of go through and create and put the structure together or see the structure that you already have. Now, that, of course, also requires a little bit more time, okay? So you give them logic, you give them statistics, and you have to show them why the statistics are not made up because, you, as you know, 43.7% of all statistics are made up.
And 23.2% are made up on the spot.
Exactly. And so then, of course, the next one is the blue brain, which is called intuitive processing. Now, intuition is not some woo-woo thing that the universe is giving you the answers to your problems. I mean, intuition scientifically comes from experience that you don't know you have. See, when you're conscious, you're basically noticing things that are important to you, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on behind the scenes that you may not be aware of. And because you're not aware of it, it still goes into your subconscious, but you don't know that it's there. And so therefore, sometimes, you know, the intuitive processors especially, they'll just go, it's like, wow, you know, it just feels right. And they don't know why, and there's no logic behind it, but oftentimes they're really spot on. And that's because they have a closer connection to their subconscious knowledge and experience. So with them, because, you know, it's all about kind of this feeling about things. And so therefore, in order to gain that trust, I mean, this is where being personal, actually having a little bit of a backstory about the people, understanding the people, seeing the people, you know, making sure that the person is like a real human being and not some slick sales guy, you know, somebody that's kind of down to earth and so somebody that they can connect with on a personal level, okay, that's going to really help a blue brain to kind of connect and create trust. While the red brain doesn't care. It's like, okay, does it meet the objectives? Is there a specific structure? Okay, the green brain is like, okay, hey, let's try it. Let's see if it works. Let's, you know, what can I try next? Let me try a little bit of it so that I can see if I can get a result, and therefore then I can buy the bigger one. Okay. With the purple brain, it's like, no. I don't, you know, the people are fine, but I need all the details and I need to know the background of the people too to make sure that that's all this stuff is actually true. Okay. So all of this stuff can be created in different campaigns. Mm-hmm. See, if you actually are going to put it together and you're going to create this kind of a situation where you have the different campaigns that will help you to segment the different processors, this is what it's going to do for you, okay? Number one, in the future, if you're doing any marketing automation, autoresponders, this kind of stuff, you can cater all, once you've segmented them, then you can cater all of the different autoresponders, okay, and the different marketing specific to that person's brain processing. And guess what? You're going to literally get a much higher conversion rate overall. Why? Because it's like, wow, this person really speaks my language.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I mean, I'm just, okay, just look at it, okay, from a regular perspective when you're talking to people. Let's say, you know, you're dealing with people at work, right? And so sometimes, you know, there's these people that you're thinking, oh my gosh, I am surrounded by idiots. And you don't really understand why, you know, I mean, you just kind of look at them and you're just kind of thinking, you know, because and basically the reason is because their brain process, their way of getting clarity, and therefore because their clarity process is different, so is how and why they take action, right? Because your how, essentially, is going to be different. So therefore, you're going to need different elements before you take action. And so some people are going, oh my gosh, these people are just, you know, waiting for stuff. Or other people are saying, oh, these guys are just jumping into stuff. And so therefore, they judge people by their genetic brain process. In fact, we call that brain racism.
Mm.
People are judging people by the color of their brain, by their genetics.
So let's kind of pull this into a nice, neat package. First and foremost, is each individual pretty much just one color, or can they be multiple colors? That's my first question.
Okay. First of all, it's genetic. Okay. So it's based on the length, or what we call the gene alleles, or the length of specific genes. All right.
Okay.
So you can't change your brain process. Okay. Now, what you can do, for example, is you can learn stuff. Okay. So there's a concept called neuroplasticity that basically says if you practice something and you do something over and over again, it will literally change your brain structure, which is correct. So yes, Brian, people are always going to be only one color, even though they may develop software for the other colors.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. So the second part of that then, as a marketer, as a person, what you're suggesting is that we create a specific campaign for each one of these people. So basically, it's like creating four separate campaigns. Now, also, another piece of that puzzle, and again, I don't want to get too detailed on it, but some people learn visually, some people learn auditorily, some people learn tactily. So is it best to say try all three of those on each one of those four campaigns so they may learn through a different methodology? Is that the way that you kind of suggest that we pull that together?
Sure. I mean, that would be fine also, but you can incorporate the visuals, tactile and auditory elements into even one ad. Okay. So the, or ad campaign. So that element is important, but even when it comes to learning, remember that your way of getting clarity is what determines your long-term memory. If something is not clear, it is very difficult for it to go into long-term memory, so you don't remember it.
Right, which totally makes sense. Okay. So, Arthur, this has been just amazing. I know I could probably go on for hours talking about this, but I really want to give people an opportunity to learn more detail about this. So what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, one of the best things to do would be to go into coloredbrain.com, and they would be able to get free training from coloredbrain.com as well. There's also another PDF that we have, and I'll give you the link on this, which is why you are leading up to 74% of your conversions on the table.
Wow. All right. I'll make sure I get that in the show notes. Well, Arthur, this has been just, amazing and mind-blowing. I don't know what color mind I just blew, but I blew one of them. But anyways, man, I really appreciate you coming on. If people want to get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Best way would be to contact our office. They could contact us at support@directivecommunication.com.
Perfect. Arthur, again, I appreciate you. I appreciate your insights on this subject. I'm looking forward to having you back on after I've had a chance to play around with it a little bit more, because I'm sure I'm going to have a ton more questions. But you dropped a big sizzling hot bacon knowledge bomb, the mother of all bacon knowledge bombs, on my peeps tonight. So, man, I really appreciate you coming on. So,
well, thank you, Brian.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.